Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we are going to have a special guest for you today, Christine Weick. And we will be talking about the destruction of Damascus and what does it mean really for these end times? Because truly we know we are in the end times. All the signs point to it. We see so many different things happening with the weather. We see the world coming together in what will be the one world government. And of course, we know that as long as Jesus Christ is on the throne, we have nothing to fear. So we're not afraid. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We thank God that the world belongs to him. Amen. And he will be the one that will make all the decisions for what's going to happen in the future. Although it looks like sometimes men and rulers think that they're making the decisions of what really goes on in the world, but ultimately God will have his way, so we have nothing to fear. Like the Bible says, we look up for our redemption draws nigh, and we know that Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, so we trust him. Amen. So we've seen so many different things happening recently in the news, haven't we? So with the election here, and then all the different scandals, which to me are major distractions from what's really going on. And we have to remember that what we read in the newspaper and we hear on the news is not always the truth. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt. I'm going to be bringing my guest on the air. Hi, Christine.
Hello, Susan. How are you?
Good. I am just want to extend my condolences, of course, to you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
But we have a celebration as well as a little bit of grief, but we also have a great celebration.
Yes, amen. A wonderful celebration. So we thank God for that. But, of course, Christine, we recently had a presidential election here. And what do you think the meaning of this presidential election is as far as the world situation, especially with the Middle East?
Well, I had the gut feeling in my pit of my stomach that President Obama would get the reelection. I kind of had that feeling since the get-go, and this is the reason why. My idea was 4 years ago, how did this person get in on what he ran on? He had no record whatsoever. I'm not racist at all, but to see a black American with the vote, from the South the way he got it. That was, you know, that was a great milestone for him and for the African-American people, definitely. And I have nothing against that. But, you know, this was a big jump for them because this was never done before. But but my take was the record that he ran on. It was just hope and change. And, okay, so the people wanted something different, someone different. And I says, okay, you know, I guess that's so I can see where things needed to change from what we were going through with in 2008 with, of course, the crash economically and the Bush policies just didn't seem to be working and, you know, everything got blamed on Bush. But when I seen him reelected, and he didn't go on hope and change anymore. He had a record that was now, wow, were you better off 4 years ago or what? And most people could say that they were not, of course. Now, I do have to give credit to President Obama that his situation was world-generated. It was not just the fault of the United States. I mean, we had issues in Europe that had to get dealt with. The issue with Iran and Israel, you know, this was something that, you know, that we had to deal with, but it was not our problem. It was almost like Iran was creating the issue, not Mr. Obama or President Obama. So when I seen him reelected, I says, you know what, God is the one who puts the kings in power. And he's the one that directs the heart of the king, but also the heart of the people. And how did he come around again the second time? Showed me that there was a reason why God put him in the first time. And that was to continue the job that he was doing. And I believe in the pit of my heart that President Obama is just a pawn on the chessboard of God to bring in the Antichrist.
Yeah.
I guess that's the bottom line. I see that we need, as a superpower, as a great nation in this world, we need to be taken down to the level where the one world government steps in and it all looks good from the side of the Antichrist.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. I, you know, what else can it be? This is the first time we've had a reelection of a president where his approval ratings were so low and that his record was so bad, unemployment
yeah.
being as high. This is the first time one got in under those two conditions.
Yeah, it was quite remarkable, really. But, of course, we're not saying Barack Obama is the Antichrist, but saying that.
I don't see that. I don't see that at all. And I hope people understand this because a lot of people do think he is it.
No, he's not
and,
it.
Because he don't fit the qualifications that are given to us in Daniel and Revelation.
Yeah, that's right. What are the qualifications?
One of them got to come from the Roman Empire. You know,
uh-huh.
I mean that's from the feet of feet of the statue of Nebuchadnezzar. The Antichrist comes from those Roman roots. And now I got to admit, we don't know where President Obama actually. Got his birth certificate. We could start this whole birther argument, and I'm not going to go there. You know, if he is born in Hawaii, then let it be. He's born in Hawaii. But another thing is, and this is the big clue, when he rises to power, which would have been 4 years ago, he would have had all the answers to all the world's problems.
Right.
And, all the world would be in awe. Well, there was half of America that was not in awe.
Yes. Of course, we know, and maybe you could explain it a little bit more to the listeners about the person that is Antichrist, of course. He comes and he rescues people from financial ruin because
yeah.
there will be 3.5 years of tremendous prosperity.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that all fits the opening of the first seal, which I believe, of course, is the beginning of the tribulation period, is the cracking open of the seals, or the first one in particular, and on the white horse. And that is the Antichrist. That is not Christ himself. That is the Antichrist that rides out at the crack of the first seal. And he sweeps things along. In Daniel, it says, as with a flood. It just like he just comes along and he just corrects everything. And all the world is in awe of the beast. And, you know, they're like, hey, who is like unto this beast? Who can make war against him? He is incredible. And
yeah, so doesn't that, isn't, because we hear so many people, they're so bummed out because they say, oh, well, this is going to mean a terrible economic crash. Well, even if it does mean an economic crash, whatever happens, when the Antichrist appears on the scene, and if we're still here, then you're going to have 3.5 years of tremendous prosperity. That's how he's going to hook
you.
Yeah,
because look at when the second seal opens. When the second seal opens, it takes away the peace that the first seal presented. So obviously, I don't know how many, it could be 3.5, it could, you know, I know at the 3.5 year point, things really go downhill for the believer. Actually, you know, the kingdom of the Antichrist will actually prosper up to his end. But at the same time, we as believers, I believe we're going to be persecuted from the gate from day one. But, you know, it's going to become really intense at the 3.5 year point when he claims to be God.
Yeah.
And I just...
The interesting thing is, I find it very interesting because I personally, myself, I would never support a candidate for anything that believed in abortion or supported abortion. And I'm to me, it's a little disheartening when I see Christians supporting someone that would believes in abortion. So,
well, I feel if you can't get the little things right, you are not going to be able to fix the big things.
No, but it's also, to me, it's a dangerous precedent because the Bible says that we'll know them by their fruit. So, of course, as time progresses and as we see the day is growing more wicked, we're not, if people aren't careful, then you're not going to be able to recognize the wicked leader, the totally wicked leader, when he comes on the scene.
And that's called desensitization.
Yeah.
And as Christians, I'm sorry, but the majority of us who call themselves Christians really need to wake up.
Oh, yeah. I see a tremendous desensitization of Christians, and to me it's shocking, really. But I have to tell people and the listeners that you need to beware, because you have to be careful of people that promise you the world, and you don't have to work for it. That you have to take from somebody else to give to somebody else without it being a free will offering.
Yep, and you know, that isn't one of the attributes of the Antichrist as he's described in Daniel, because it says there he will take from the rich and spread it among the nations, and he will, so in other words, he will spread the wealth.
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of people link that to Obama, because Obama wanted to do that, tax the rich and continue his austerity programs. But I believe we're going to see that on a global setting. You got to remember, it's not just, you know, the Antichrist isn't just going to work with the United States. The Antichrist is going to work with the entire world.
Yes.
And that's where, you know, this is what we got to keep our eyes peeled out for.
Now, of course, the document that Pope Benedict wrote, it has a fancy name, which I can't remember right now. His encyclical, where he also talked about the redistribution of wealth.
Yes, he wanted to create a special department for that.
Yeah.
To create an entity to relieve the world of the poor.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
And that actually came on with when the Wall Street protesters started their angst against Wall Street.
Yeah.
It followed shortly after that when, you know, we started having all kinds of protesters throughout the world, and they were protesting against austerity measures. Hey, you know, what about us? You know, we're sick of these rich bureaucrats making all the decisions, and we're still in the mud. And we worked all our life, and now we're getting, you know, slowly losing our pride. We're losing what we've worked for. And we need this and we need that. It's, you know, the call of the 99 against that 1%. And that's when there was a cardinal that started this movement of, hey, let's be fair. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's exactly what the Antichrist ends up doing. Let's play fair.
Yeah. So these things, it's all part of the things that you should be on the lookout for. And, of course, you need to be warned, because we don't have a right to take from anybody else just because we want something. God said that we should work and provide for our own. And I'm not saying sometimes people do need help. You might fall in some hard times and you need some help. But it's better to be self-sufficient than to be relying on the government to meet your needs, when as Christians we know only God can truly meet your needs. And it's all very interesting how you see this whole thing coming together, because there's other voices out there saying the same thing. Oh, let's redistribute the wealth. And so it's a sign of the times. But having spent time in Europe, and I spent quite a bit of time in Europe back in the 90s, but I was not impressed at all with European socialism. I found it very distressing, the socialized medicine and all the social programs. It was a bureaucratic nightmare, really. And the people were being taxed to death. You couldn't believe the taxes. You had to have a license in England just to watch television. You had to purchase a license. And so we're going to see some of those things here. We've only begun to see the beginning of higher and higher taxes, when most people don't realize that the price of gasoline, it's not just you're paying just for the gasoline. There's all these hidden taxes in a gallon of gasoline. So that's why you're paying close to $4 for a gallon of gas. Of course, they're paying $7 and $8 in some parts of Europe. And I saw that when I was in England. Gasoline back in the 90s was $5, about $5 a gallon. I thought it was outrageous, but I knew eventually it would come here. So,
and I think we're going to, you know, like you said, just be aware. Keep an eye of what's going on around you nationally and internationally. And I think you will see at some point things will snap.
Yeah.
And people will go berserk. People would, you know, it would just be, you know, people to shake their heads going, you know, how did we get this far? And that's when something will happen with the hand of God to raise up this one person who says, whoa, 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 look and see what I got.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, he will sweep the world like a flood. It will be like, wow, yeah, this makes sense. This guy knows what he's doing, and, you know, he'll be one of the greatest persons in the world. This will be a Hitler 10 times over with his ideas. He will save the world. He will do this for me. And he will be able to speak with charm and just, you know, he'll be boastful. And, you know, the Bible just sucks. He'll be charismatic and just a wonderful, wonderful person. And,
then he'll turn on you like a rattlesnake. But I think that God has given us all these forerunners, and of course Hitler was a forerunner of the Antichrist. If there ever was one, because and I'm sure that people back then probably did think he was it.
Oh, I'm sure they had to. I mean, the Jews were being thrown into the pit and into the fires, and you know, and they were like, yeah, you know, and to be a Jew in those days, that was tribulation,
yeah,
too, like they've never known.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, and I'm sure the Jews don't believe in a rapture. Some of them did. Actually, some of them did, because they were Messianic Jews there. You know, rapture was talked about then. It was going to happen any day.
Yeah.
You know, because of what they were going through. And, you know, the Jews know the prophets. They knew them very well. And, you know, this is Jacob's trouble. This is it.
And I'm sure that they were in shock.
It was. I can't imagine what it must have been like. And you sometimes can run into a person yet who witnessed it, or
who witnessed
your grandma
it.
That day.
Yeah. Yeah. You. But that's why we have to be aware. We can't ever forget history. History does repeat itself.
And we are not learning. We are not learning.
No, we're not learning. Obviously, I, as a church, we don't put our faith and trust in governments, because God has a government, and that's the only government we can put our faith and trust in. We have to pray for our leaders. Meanwhile, we have to do the work of preaching the gospel and leading people to Jesus, because we can't put our trust in earthly things. They can be here 1 minute and gone the next. And so then what are you going to do? Commit suicide? No. We put our faith and trust in God. But you need to be aware. We have to be aware and study our Bibles, the things that point to these people coming on the scene, the rise of the false religious systems, the deception, the news, the way they report the news, and how deceptive it is, and how gullible people have become. But, I mean, there was a real separation this time, I have to say, in the election. But I do believe, like you said, God puts people in. He puts people up, and he takes people down. So
yes.
This is God's plan for this time.
And that's my only comfort in this.
Yeah, me too, because I know it's the hand of God. I know that this is what God is showing us. It's part of what we have to know and what we have to learn. And so I don't
just
fear.
Just be prepared for a very bumpy 4 years.
Yeah, very bumpy. It's going to be shocking, all the changes. I think there's going to be so many changes that... You know, but get ready. Get ready, because the way we knew things years ago, and people worked hard, they built their families, they didn't borrow much money to buy things, and those days basically are gone, because America, of course, doesn't manufacture that many things anymore.
Well, when we have Black Friday now on Thanksgiving Day, I said to my son when I seen the news, those are the Walmart started the idea about a week ago that they were going to open their doors on Thanksgiving Day night at 8 o'clock. I just shook my head and I said to my son, he's 14, and I said to him, I says, we're going down fast. If
yeah.
we cannot seem to be thankful to God for one day, before we're thinking of buying the next item already, and now I says, pretty soon you're not going to see Thanksgiving Day at all. It'll be Black Thursday.
Yeah.
And Thanksgiving will be not even be a thing of the past. Of hey, remember we used to go to grandma's and sit there all day and eat turkey.
Well, yeah,
them days are,
that.
That day is coming, where because of greed. To me, it's greed. If
well,
you're
there's
able
so
to,
much greed. There's so much greed. It's unbelievable, the greed, and you. That's something we want to avoid at all costs. But anyway, let's talk a little bit about Damascus, because
how interesting of a topic right now.
Yeah, and I think that some people would be very they want to know what is going to happen in the Middle East now. What's the situation in Damascus?
Okay, well, we know we have a basic civil war going on at this point. Those who are coming up against President Assad, it's called the Free Syrian Army, but there's a lot of factions, there's a lot of different groups that are all kind of focusing on trying to topple President Assad, and he is clinging to power, and clinging is the word right now, and what happened even earlier, I think it was this week, it might have been Friday of last week, the rebels, or the Free Syrian Army, which are the ones going against President Assad, formed a umbrella coalition between all of the people fighting against Assad, have now formed one umbrella entity, revolution you would call it, where they are now combined under one person, and that was something that nations required. The Arab states required it. The U.S. was pushing for this, that they could now have someone to supply, where if Assad would fall or when he would fall, there would be a government ready to go into place. And they needed to combine their forces, to say. And they did that last week. And yesterday, France was the first country to announce that it will support now the new coalition. So we'll see how many nations now follow. But once the support from a nation is in place, then they'll start supplying arms and munitions. And that is something that the Syrian army here, they needed. They're desperate. They can hold on to certain cities once they got them, but once Assad starts coming in with his helicopters and he just pounds that city, they scatter. I mean, we need, you know, anti-aircraft ammunition. We need things to stop Assad once he starts getting after us. And that movement now is looking stronger.
Yeah, so what is the biblical significance of all this?
Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1. Now, you got to understand, this prophecy has never been fulfilled. Damascus is the oldest habited city in the world today.
Oh.
And we have never seen this prophecy fulfilled, and we are looking at it right now when you turn on any news that pertains to Syria. And the chapter 17, verse 1 says this. This is God's message to Damascus, capital of Syria. Look, Damascus is gone. It is no longer a city. It becomes a heap of ruins. Look at the pictures that are coming out. And from what little we can see, I mean, Assad has kept a lot of journalism out.
Much. No.
And I think once we do see what is actually, once we are able to get in with the full force of photographers and our reporters, I think we will see Damascus, a heap of ruins. Now, it's not there yet because it's still a city, but we are slowly seeing what is happening. And if you want, we'll go through the chapter of Isaiah 17, and we will see exactly what is going to happen.
Okay.
All right, well, let's continue here with verse number 2. It says, the cities of Aroer, now I got to admit, I'm not Syrian, so I don't know how to pronounce these, but notice that outside cities are deserted. Is that happening right now?
Yeah.
We're seeing people fleeing cities. Last week, there was a city that was occupied by the rebels. The rebels gained a city, I think it was the north of Damascus. And the people, this is the people's fear. Once the rebels take hold of a stronghold or take hold of a city, yeah, they liberate, so to say. But then Assad comes after them, and he is ruthless. I mean, he just comes in with his helicopter and his warplanes, and he just pounds the city with mortars and with aircraft munitions, where the people are, you know, nobody's safe. And so as soon as they see a city being held by the rebels, the citizens flee overnight. And that's what happened last week with 20,000 people fled a city into Turkey because they were afraid that the next day Syrian helicopters were coming, and they did.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many citizens in that city died just from the gunfire because Assad just, you know, he just throws his bullets wherever he wants. He's not concerned as to who dies.
Yeah.
I think in his mind, it's like, hey, you know I'm coming because you're allowing the rebels to hold that city. I'm sorry, but you better get out before I come in because I don't care where you are. I need to get these rebels. I need to take back the city. And I think from Assad's point of view, you can understand that. And you know, I mean, look at what Assad is up against here. He's really up against terrorists. He's calling them this. And, you know, in some ways, he's right. I mean, he's got these little rebel groups taking over massive cities, and the civilians are really, they're defenseless. They got nothing to defend themselves. Here again is when you take away the guns from the people, this is what happens. And, you know, these people can do nothing but run with the shirt on their back and the kids in their arms.
Yes.
And they are fleeing. They are deserting the cities. And we are seeing this happen right now. Verse 3, the strength of Israel. Now, this is important. What in the world has Israel got to do with when Damascus falls? And this is the prophecy in the Bible. It's not my words. This is God's. It says, the strength of Israel and the power of Damascus will end. Now, I kind of took a step back here, and I thought, what is the strength of Israel? And I thought, well, obviously we know what the power of Damascus is. I think that right now is the forces of Assad. The power of Damascus is, you know, the military strength that Assad still has and that everybody is in fear of and the rest of the world is quite angry at. Because he is, and of course he's being supplied by Iran, Russia, and China. Thank you very much for those three countries. But what? Why is Israel losing its strength as well? And I thought there's got to be a connection there between Syria and Israel. And did you notice earlier this week, I think it was Sunday, Israel fired a missile into Syria?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Now, that's the first time that has happened since, I think it was 1973.
Oh.
This was with the war over the Golan Heights. For those who remember that, Israel and Syria have never made a peace agreement. They haven't had any fighting exchange since the Golan Heights ordeal. And this is the first time a shell came into Israel, or into the Golan Heights, which is really Israel because it's occupied by Israel.
Yeah.
And Israel returned fire immediately. First time since 1973. People wake up.
Yeah.
Israel is being pulled now into this, along with Turkey, of course. But Israel now is pulled into this. And Israel is not going to take anything from Syria. They have always been enemies, and they've never had a truce. They had an ongoing war from 1973, but they never fired upon each other since 1973. So that's kind of interesting now that we just had a little volley of exchange here.
Yeah, I'm looking at some news headlines, and I'll read a couple of them. It says, top Hamas commander killed in Israeli airstrike. Target tied to Iran. Tehran mounts massive drills. Israel launches Operation Pillar of Cloud, hits 20 underground rocket sites in Gaza. IDF ready to initiate ground operation. Rockets explode in Israeli border town.
Yep. Now, what do you think is the glory of Israel? Because it says that's going to end. The glory of Israel will end. Susan, do you see what the glory of Israel is?
No.
I see it as Israel's military.
Oh.
That is their glory. Same as Damascus.
Oh.
And I feel so something's going to happen. I don't know what, but something is going to happen that is going to cause Israel to lose its military strength. That to me is unbelievable, but just something for your listeners to keep an eye on. This is, again, one of those open your eyes and see what's going first. And look for this next prophecy as well. I'm going to just kind of continue because I'm going to hit it here with a continuing of Isaiah 17.
Okay.
For as Israel's glory departed, so theirs too will disappear. So again, it's mentioned again, something from Israel that it's its glory. Now remember, it's not God's glory, it's Israel's glory. So it's not something that God has, it's something Israel claims, which is, of course, its military. Okay? So as Israel's glory departs, so Damascus' glory will disappear also, declares the Lord of hosts. And here it is mentioned again, third time. Yes, the glory of Israel will be very dim. So notice it's not completely gone. It's just very dim. When poverty stalks the land. Okay, Israel is extremely rich as a nation.
Yes.
When poverty stalks the land, what is happening? Something's got to happen where all of a sudden we lose our material things, or we have something, you know, the glory disappears and the poverty comes in. Well, let's continue because it shows up later.
Okay.
Verse 5, Israel will be as abandoned as harvest grain fields in the valley of Rephaim. Oh, a very few of her people will be left. Now notice, again, notice how the wording is here. And there's a description. Trees with olives, just a few of the branches on the end will have the fruit. So in other words, something is left. Okay, so there's going to be an abandonment. Now what's another word for abandoning a city? You can see what happened with Hurricane Sandy. What's another word for abandonment of a city? It's evacuation.
Deserting.
Evacuation.
Right.
But who are the ones that are always left after an evacuation? There's always two things that are always left. Well, actually, three things that are left. Your material goods, because you can't take your house with you.
Yeah.
And you can't take your grill, and you can't take your mama's great bowl that she gave you. You know,
yeah.
You take the shirt on your back, and you take your family. Another thing you leave are your pets. If you have horses or if you have cows, you're going to leave them. You can't take them with you. And a lot of housing and a lot of shelters do not allow dogs and cats. A lot of them will, but you see... And in fact, we've seen this with Hurricane Katrina, and we are also seeing this with Hurricane Sandy. There are people going in and rescuing the pets that are left behind.
Yeah.
Okay. And that shows up here again in chapter 17. We'll come up to that in a bit. But we also leave our cities, and the people who are left are the poor. Agreed?
Yeah.
They're the people that have no means of transportation. I mean, they can't leave. They don't know how to get out quickly because they haven't got the means to do so. Now, some of them are just stubborn, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, now you got to grant that. Some of them are there because they're just dumb stubborn. But basically, when you have a mandatory evacuation, the poor are the ones that are left behind. There isn't enough buses to bring them all out. There ain't enough trains to get them all out. Nobody's got a car, or the poor haven't got the means of getting out or having a place to stay. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
If I leave here, the shelters are full, and my sister lives 100 miles away. I can't get there.
Right.
I don't know how to get there. I haven't got the gas in my car to drive 500 miles to Grandma's house. So I guess I stay put and ride this out. And I think that's a clue here because it says that only a few or only a stubborn little bit or the poor are left behind. So to me, something is going to happen that is going to cause a mass evacuation, and we're seeing that right now from Damascus. So we can see the reason for that. But the cities in Damascus are turning to rubble. But you will notice the cities in Israel are not turned to rubble. They're actually intact.
Yeah.
But something occurs that forces the people out. What is that? Well, I got a couple ideas. We could have an EMP that's launched over Damascus, and it connects with Israel. Now, an EMP is electronic pulse bomb. Somebody may leash something, maybe United States, maybe some other country, leashes a nuclear weapon in the atmosphere over Damascus, and that takes out the power of Assad, because now nothing runs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Aircraft can't fly. Military tanks can't work. That takes out the electronic grid. And if it's meant to topple Assad, it might work. But at the same time, Israel's affected. Israel loses its power as well. And I'm talking power as here now being something electric.
Yeah.
Does that force the people to leave the cities? I don't know. I mean, look at what happened with Hurricane Sandy. You don't have power for 10, 15 days. It's miserable.
Yes.
And you get up and you leave. What's, you know, it's difficult to survive in those conditions.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's one scenario. Another scenario is we know that Assad is threatened and will use and does have chemical weapons.
Oh.
Okay. Now, if a chemical weapon is used, and I don't think it will be, because that would kill the poor, correct?
Right.
I mean, that kills everybody.
Yeah, that kills everybody.
I mean, that kills rich and poor alike. That's
yeah.
Just, you know, and that kills the animals, too.
Yeah, that's so, why I don't think they'll ever
I
do
don't
that.
Think it will be a release of a chemical weapon that
no.
forces the evacuation of the Israeli cities. But what if
right.
it's a threat of it? What if
well, it could be the threat, but that's always been my thinking, is that people
I think
have...
so, too. In fact, I think that is almost more plausible,
yeah.
that Israel's intelligence finds out that Assad is starting to get his stockpiles in order. In fact, they probably already are. We don't know where they are. That's been the issue.
Oh.
And Israel's fear... is that Hamas or Hezbollah will get a hold of them first. That is a real strong fear of the Israel military, because once they get it, they know they will use it on Israel. So, do we have then a threat? On Thursday, I mean, I'm doing a scenario here. Let's say tomorrow, Assad starts pulling together his cache of weapons, and Israel's intelligence starts to learn of it, and it starts broadcasting, get your gas mask out, everybody get your gas mask, we're going to get hit, and people start leaving Israel by the thousands and hundreds of thousands. I mean, how many Jews are in Israel? 7 million Jews?
Yeah.
They start leaving. And where do they go? I don't know. Some probably get an airplane and fly to the U.S. Some get out, move into Jordan. I don't know. We don't know this. But we know that they scatter over everywhere. But the ones that are left are the poor. And if we go down to, I'm trying to find it here. It says it here where the sheep are actually in the fields. I might be in Jeremiah with that one. Nope, I'm not seeing it in chapter 17 here.
Yeah.
I believe that comes up in Jeremiah chapter 39, where it says that the sheep on the fields are there with no one to tend them. So this, again, is an idea here that the pets will be left behind. The animals cannot come along with the evacuation, so they are left behind. So another idea here that a chemical weapon is not being used, but the threat of it could be. I don't know. This is something just keep an eye on, people. Just keep an eye on it. And if we go down to verse 7, it says, then at last, and I think you mentioned this in the beginning of your show, then at last they will think of God their creator and have respect for the Holy One of Israel. They will no longer ask that their idols will help them in that day, and neither will they worship with their hands what they have made.
Yeah.
we will have to forget our material things and rely on God.
Yes.
When you leave everything behind, what do you have left? God.
Yes.
And maybe then they will remember it. And it looks like they do. They remember God.
Yeah.
And I think something, like I said, but it's got to take something major to happen in order for that to occur. So,
yeah.
I mean, unfortunately, that's how God has to work. He has to use his discipline, and he has to use uncomfortable situations to get more attention towards him.
Yes.
And we have that in our personal lives, but you know what? Nations have that too.
Yes.
And I believe we're going to see that as a nation as well.
Oh, yeah. Things have already changed so much. And since I've been growing up, I've seen so many changes, and things are very different than they were years ago. So.
Yep, and that is all prophecy. You know,
yeah,
this is
all
God's
prophecy.
Hand in that.
Yeah.
He allows us our free will for so long, and then it's enough is enough.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to show you my anger or my hand in your life, and what are you going to do? You know?
Yes.
Okay, we'll finish up here with verse, well, not, if you want to finish, we can, but I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
It continues more and more, believe me. But verse 9, again, says the same thing. There, now remember, there is both Damascus or Syria and Israel. So both Damascus and Israel, their largest cities will be as deserted as the distant wooded hills and mountaintops, and become like the abandoned cities of the Amorites, deserted when the Israelites approached. Now, that's interesting there, because look at, there's an example here of how it will happen. When the Amorites, the cities of the Amorites, now that was a very affluent nation. It was a heathen nation, very affluent. But when they heard that the Israel army was coming, they knew there was danger. They knew the Israelites were ruthless in their killing. When God was on the side of the Israelites, the heathen nations knew they were cooked. They were done. So here's this city of the Amorites are deserted when the Israelites approached. It's an example is given here. So there's like a warning being going to be sent out to Israel and to Damascus. There's going to be a warning.
Yeah.
And we're starting to see that with the desertion of the cities in Syria. It's like there's a warning. Well, as soon as the Syrian rebels take over, we know Assad's coming. Get out.
Yeah.
But we're going to see that in Israel too. So like I said, something's going to happen. And it says, why? Because you have turned from God who can save you. You just said that. The rock who can hide you. Therefore, even though you plant a wonderful, rare crop of greatest value, and though it grows so well that it will blossom on the very morning that you plant it, you will never harvest it.
Yeah.
You will only harvest will be a pile of grief and incurable pain. Now, some people have said that this is an idea here that Israel will come across something of great value, but it will be at a time where they won't be able to use it because they're going to be taken, they're going to be forced out. So I don't know. That's conjecture at this point, but maybe it's the whole idea that Israel finds itself a rare and valuable thing, and it's unusual to see such a nation of great importance and of great military strength in the midst of all these Arab nations around it.
Yeah.
And they have just found something extremely valuable in their own military might, in their own nuclear weapons capability, but they're not going to be able to use it.
Right.
So, to me, that's interesting that God uses the comparison of something that they planted, something that they grew, something that they, you know, accumulated over the years, and that, to me, is, again, military might, but they won't be able to use it. Because
something else
happens where it's going to be useless.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I don't ever see the Earth, you know, they use these nuclear weapons as a deterrent, but I don't ever see them using them because they destroy themselves, and they're not about to do that.
They do. And when God, and people tell me too, you know, because I love the book of Revelation, and they're like, you know, the whole world is going to be nuked. I
no.
say, no, it will not be.
No way.
And I tell you why. Because it's going to be God's hand that does the destruction, not man.
Yeah, exactly.
If man uses their nukes, yep, we could take the whole world out all by ourselves. And then you just left God out of the equation. But according to the book of Revelation, God is in the equation. He is the one that does the destruction. So it will be done by supernatural events, something by natural elements. God
yeah.
will use his hand. And believe me, I would never want to mess with God's nuclear arsenal, because he's got things that we don't even know of, that we have never seen, but we will. I mean, well, I mean, I believe that we are gone by then. But the world, the unbelievers, will see God's nuclear arsenal at the end.
Yeah. That's it. I tell people that, too. That man can't destroy God's earth, and he's not going to give them that power. But if they were going to use nuclear weapons, then they would destroy themselves. They want to live, these greedy wicked people. They don't want to kill themselves, but they use these things as a threat. So
right, and you know what? We haven't had the use of a weapon since Hiroshima, and we've seen
yeah.
the damage that resulted from that.
Oh, yeah, it was horrible.
You know, and I think nations are so close to each other nowadays, and they're so infiltrated between our citizens are living in other nations, and we've got ambassadors in other countries, and everybody's got troops in each other's countries.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that you drop a bomb on a country, you're kind of killing part of your own people, too.
Yeah.
You know, so you're right. I really see that the nuclear weapons are a threat, and it
yeah.
moves the political map a little bit. And
yeah.
it definitely moves the chessboard in a different way. Look at how
yeah.
we're treating Iran. So.
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. Now, I mean, that's a whole nother story. That's an interesting situation there right now. Of course, we don't really know what's going on. Because we don't.
They're pretty good at keeping secrets.
Yeah, they're very good at keeping secrets, and they're very good at manipulating the press. I have to laugh at the way they try to manipulate people's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're calling.
I don't believe what they're saying. I don't believe these news. They call these people journalists, but they're not really journalists. They're just readers. That's all. They get paid to read. Maybe
yep.
some of them write their scripts. I doubt seriously that most of these people that call themselves journalists actually write that stuff that they read. And they're told what to read. They're paid big money to spew their propaganda.
Yep.
I trust the word of God. That's who I trust. I trust fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, of course, to the point where, you know, they've done their homework. And if it lines up with the word of God, then I can trust that. But the Bible tells us clearly that cursed is the man that puts his trust in man. So we don't trust men to do things for us. We have to look to God now more than ever
yeah.
To put our faith and trust in God as we see these things unfolding right before our eyes. You don't want to see them. I never thought that I would be living in the end times.
Well, I think it's an exciting time to be alive. You know, when people see the news coming out of Syria, Iran, or Israel, and they're like, oh, man, I just don't like to turn on the news because I don't want to see what's going on. I'm the opposite. I search the news out because I want to see what's going on because
yeah.
it links to the Bible so clearly. And just, you know, just seeing the people deserting the towns in Damascus here, the towns in around Damascus, it's like this is the Bible word for word here.
Yeah.
They're deserting things. And I'm like, we haven't seen the desertion out of Israel yet. And this is going to happen. And, you know, and every day I think, what am I going to see on the news today that I missed in the last 8 hours since I've been sleeping.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
man,
things are happening so fast.
And it's all one little notch. And you're like, I mean, 2 years ago with this Iran situation, I'm like, okay, we're going to be at war in the next couple months. We're going to be at war in the next couple weeks. And it just is one more notch. It's one more notch. And it's like, finally, I don't say that anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I don't even put a timetable on it anymore because it doesn't work. It always seems to be tightening and tightening and tightening. And I keep telling people, one of these days, that whole thing is going to let loose.
Oh, yeah, and one of these days. When
it's going to
let
loose.
In God's time, it definitely will let loose. And that's the things the thing that is interesting to me is how fast things are happening, and that I didn't think I would see these things happening in my lifetime. I didn't think I was going to see the radical shift in the American people's thoughts and hearts, and the selling out of our industries to China, borrowing money from China.
Well, that's all going to come to our downfall, and that fiscal cliff that we are approaching is very interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting little...
That's a whole other subject for a whole other day, Susan.
Yeah, well, definitely, because it's all that it's amazing that it's happening, and how people they can't wake up and realize, they can't really see what's happening, or they don't want to see for some reason. And when a nation is indebted to another nation, that's bad news.
Uh-huh.
Because it's like the Bible says, the borrower is servant to the lender. So we are in big debt to China, borrowing money from China. Now imagine that. Who ever thought the United States would be borrowing money from anybody to make their government work? But that's truly how bad things are. And that's the thing, I think, when you see that almost over half of the people don't care. It's all very interesting. But I want to thank you, Christine, for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
I always appreciate helping you out and just, you know, being a tool in God's toolbox. And your ministry that you've got there is just incredible.
Yeah,
you know,
well, we're trying. You know, we're really trying to be a voice.
Well,
in the wilderness.
You are also a tool in alerting people. And
yes.
if that's the one purpose that I have, and I feel that that's what my purpose is, God created in me a love for prophecy, and God created me a love for the news. I don't have cable here. You know why? Because the thing would be on all the time, and I would never get anything done. My son keeps complaining because, it was a football game that he wanted to watch really badly, and they did not carry it on television here because, you know, it was something he wanted to watch, and it was not on national television, and he was so upset with me. He says, I just wish you would get cable. Why can't you get cable? And I says, because if I get it, I don't think you would ever get fed.
Yeah.
It would be, I'm just a news junkie. I love news. And, you know, that's something that I God created that love in there for me.
Yeah.
And because I'm excited with it, and I see God's hand in the news, and you do too. And that in itself is a ministry right there, explain that to others, you know, by just having a show that says, pay attention.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, to be a voice, how important it is. But just briefly mention to people your website and your book.
All right. Well, I wrote a book on explaining Revelation. I do not talk about Syria in my book. I talk more about Ezekiel's war, which is actually tied to the destruction of Damascus. But Ezekiel's war is what I start my book with, and that to me is the launch of the tribulation period. But my book explains the book of Revelation, verse by verse. In fact, I just started my own blog talk radio show. I did my own about a year ago, but I'm just starting now to go verse by verse through the book of Revelation.
Oh, good.
So for people who don't have the book, you can just go right on blog talk radio. I started chapter 1 today. So Just go to Explain This, and you'll see Explain This Bible Prophecy and the archives there, and or you will see the first show is archived. And but my book is about that, to explain Revelation. It is available at Amazon under the name title Explain This. It's got a bright orange cover. Kindle is available for 99 cents. However, if you go to my website, it will be cheaper there.
And okay.
My because I pay for the shipping, that's why. Amazon, you have to pay for that yourself.
Oh.
So I pay for the shipping if you purchase it from me through my website. And I will be getting e-books soon. My web team is still in the process of doing my e-book on my website. So
oh, good.
That's another blessing in a whole other realm of electronics.
Yeah.
But
there's so
my website is explainthis.us. S
okay.
as in United States, United
okay.
States, explainthis.us. And, of course, my email is the same thing, explainthis@att.net. If
okay.
you wish to send a comment my way, you can do it through the website as well. So,
all right. Very
but I'm
good.
Easy, I'm easy to find. I love getting comments from people. I always respond. And I said, you know, even if you disagree with me, send me a comment.
Sure.
As long as it's not too ugly.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
yeah,
just
yeah.
the good, the bad,
yeah,
and the ugly.
If it's too ugly, I'm just going to delete
you know
it.
What?
I try to answer people, too, but
it is.
I'm not going to answer that messed up stuff. I mean, forget about it, because I'm not going to fuss and fight with people either.
No, I'm not.
Don't agree with me? That's fine.
That's fine.
You know?
I'm just having you look at things in a different way, and you can show me in your way. I'm
That's
still
fine.
Learning.
Sure,
so,
we're all learning. So
we'll
thanks.
Never have the answers until that one great day.
Yeah, amen, amen to that. So we look forward to that. And I want to thank you, thanks Christine, for taking this time out, this time, you know, this period of your life.
You betcha.
Going through, but I appreciate you so much for you taking this time to come and bless the people.
You betcha, and you know what? Once we start seeing this movement of Isaiah 17 really fulfilling here, let's talk again. And then we
yes.
can see, hey, guys, let's look at the written word and then look at your news. Now
yeah.
make your connections. This is unmistakable prophecy right now. And
right.
I, you know, I don't like setting dates, but I think me and you, if we do that, we will be talking soon.
Okay. All right, then. God bless you so
you
much.
Betcha.
Lord,
and you betcha. You too
peace.
As well.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you for tuning in today. And don't forget that Jesus Christ loves you. He wants you to give your life to him today. Repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life. Jesus Christ is the only one that can give you real peace and real joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. There'll be no peace on the earth until the Prince of Peace returns, and his name is Jesus. And he loves you, and he said that you could have a home in heaven, and you could be born again. Read the third chapter of John and see for yourself. Jesus said, ye must be born again. So I'm asking you to get down on your knees and tell God you're sorry for your sins and that you want Jesus Christ to come into your life and change your life and give you a new life, because he can. He's the only one that can give you a new life. You won't be disappointed. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. God above, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.